Our scripture lesson this morning is Luke's version of the resurrection of Jesus. Luke 24, the first 12 verses. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. They didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Well, as we come here this morning to celebrate one more time the resurrection of Jesus, as we do gather each Easter morning as the Church of Jesus Christ, we come to marvel at the empty tomb where his broken, dead body had lain for 3 days before. We've heard the story just now penned by Luke's hand. But I want to share with you a different story written from the heart of a man named Walter Wangerin. It's a resurrection story as well. It's written remembering the days when vendors would push fruit and produce carts through the streets of the cities, singing out their advertisements. Strawberries, fresh ripe strawberries. A more gentle version of what you hear in the baseball stadiums. So with that in mind, hear Walter Wangerin's story. "I saw a strange sight. I stumbled upon a story most unusual, like nothing in my life, my cleverness, my street sense ever prepared me for. Even before dawn, one Friday morning, I noticed a young man, handsome and strong, walking through the back alleys of the city. He was pulling an old cart filled with the clothes, both bright and new. He was calling in a clear tenor voice, 'Rags!' A beautiful tone to go across this filthy pre-dawn light. 'Rags, new rags for old. I take your tired rags, rags.' Now this is a wonder, I thought to myself. For the man stood 6'4", his arms were like tree limbs, hard and muscular, and his eyes flashed intelligence. Could he find no better job than this, to be a rag man in the inner city? I followed him. My curiosity drove me, and I wasn't disappointed. As I followed, the rag man soon came upon a woman sitting on her back porch. She was sobbing into a handkerchief, sighing and shedding 1,000 tears, her knees and her elbows making a sad X as she covered her face with her hands. Her shoulders shook. Her heart was breaking. The ragman stopped his cart. Quietly, he walked to the woman, stepping around tin cans and broken toys and used Pampers. 'Give me your rag,' he said gently, 'and I'll give you another.' And he slipped the handkerchief from her eyes. She looked up as he laid across her palm a linen cloth so clean and new that it shined. She blinked from the gift to the giver. And then as he began to pull his cart again, the rag man did a strange thing. He put her stained handkerchief to his own face. He began to weep, to sob as grievously as she had done, his shoulders shaking, yet she was left without a tear. I breathed to myself, this is a wonder. And I followed the sobbing rag man like a child who can't turn away from mystery. Rags, rags, new rags for old. A little while when the sky shone gray behind the rooftops, and I could make out the shredded curtains and black windows, the rag man came upon a girl whose head was wrapped in a bandage. Her eyes were empty. Blood soaked the bandage, and a single line of blood trickled down her cheek. Now the tall ragman looked upon the child with pity, and he drew from his cart a beautiful yellow bonnet. He said, "Give me your rag," as he traced his own line down her cheek. "Give me your rag and I'll give you mine." The child could only gaze at him as he unwrapped her bandage, removed it and tied it to his own head. The bonnet he set upon her head. And I gasped at what I saw, for with the bandage went the wound, and now on his head it was a deeper, darker, more substantial blood that ran down his cheek, his own. "Rags, rags, I take old rags," cried the sobbing, bleeding, strong, intelligent ragman. By now the sun had raised to the point that it hurt the sky and my eyes trying to look to it. The ragman seemed more and more to hurry. He saw a man who leaned against a telephone pole, and he asked, "Are you going to work?" The man just shook his head, didn't say a thing. And the ragman pressed and says, "Do you have a job?" The man sneered and he said, "Are you crazy?" Then he pulled away from the pole to reveal that the right sleeve of his jacket was flat and the cuff was tucked into the pocket. "So," said the ragman, "give me your jacket and I'll give you mine." Such quiet authority in his voice. The one-armed man took off his jacket, and so did the ragman. And I trembled for what I saw, for the ragman's arm stayed in the sleeve, and when the other one put it on, he had two good arms, thick as tree limbs. But the ragman had only one. He said, "Go to work." After that, he found a drunk lying unconscious beneath an army blanket, an old man hunched and weazened and sick. He took that blanket and wrapped it around himself, but for the drunk, he left a new suit of clothes. And now I had to run to keep up with the ragman, though he was weeping uncontrollably, bleeding freely at his forehead, pulling his cart with his one arm, stumbling for drunkenness, falling again and again. Exhausted, old and sick. Yet he went with terrible speed like a spider skittering on his legs throughout the alleys of the city, this mile and the next until he came to the city limits and he pushed beyond. I wept to see the change in this man. I hurt to see his sorrow, and yet I had to see where he was going, hoping to find out what drove him so. In a few more minutes, the little ragman came to a landfill. He came to the garbage dump. And I wanted to help him what he was doing, but I hung back, hiding. He climbed a hill of trash and refuse. With tormented labor, he cleared a little spot on the hill, and then he sighed. He lay down. He cushioned his head with a bloodied bandage and a soiled handkerchief and a coat with a pocket stuffed in the sleeve. He covered his bones with an old army blanket. And he died. Oh, how I cried to witness that death. I slumped in a junk car and wailed and mourned as one who has no hope, because I had come to love the ragman. Every other face had faded before his. I cherished him. But he died. I finally sobbed myself to sleep. I didn't know. I mean, how could I know that I slept through Friday night and Saturday, and it's night too? But then on Sunday morning, I was awakened by a violence. Light, pure, hard, demanding light slammed against my sour face, and I blink, and I looked, and I saw the greatest wonder of all. There was the ragman standing tall, folding his blanket most carefully, a scar on his forehead, but alive, and besides that, he was healthy. There was no sign of sorrow or age. And all the rags that he had gathered shined for cleanliness. As I watched this, I then lowered my head, and trembling for all that I'd seen, I walked up to the ragman. I told him my name with shame, for I was a sorry figure next to him. And there I took off all my clothes. And I said to him with a yearning in my voice, "Dress me. Please dress me." He dressed me. Oh, my Lord, how he dressed me. New rags. I'm a wonder beside him now, beside the ragman, the Christ. There isn't a stone to be rolled away in this story. There isn't an empty tomb as such. But it's a story of resurrection nonetheless. Let me ask you, do you know the ragman? Have you heard his voice calling to you, inviting you to allow him to trade your filthy rags for his new ones? The ragman, Jesus, whom we call the Christ, came to live among us to find us in the dirty, trash-strewn alleys of our broken lives. Came to offer to take our soiled rags and bloodied bandages, our crippling, debilitating pain and shame, the addictions into which we sink to medicate the pain of our failures and disappointments. He offers to take ours and let us give him give us his. And as we allow him to trade his bright, spotless rags for our fetid, soiled ones, he takes our woundedness and makes us new. He died and dies with each new believer coming to understanding. He died our deaths on the landfills of life. And he rises magnificent. When we're awakened by that fierce light of his triumphant resurrection and realize our shame, as we see ourselves compared to who he has become, we haltingly, fearfully, taking off our own rags soiled by a life of wrong choices and attitudes, and crippling shame. We bare ourselves to him. We fall before him, saying, dress me. Please dress me. And the wonder that he is, he does. Taking our old rags and making us brand new as we stand beside him. To stand beside the rag man. The rag man. The Christ. Amen.